I think they like you, Steve.
Thursday, okay? Just remember Thursday. Thursday. Can you remember Thursday?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show here till 10 o'clock in the morning. Justin Kaufman, Mary Sandberg, Dave Bennett, Mary Vandeville, Steve Grzanch, and of course Steve Cochran this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a big show. Coach Q today. Join us as training camp for the Chicago Blackhawks starts on Friday. Campbell's going to join us as well, the Superman, Brian Campbell.
Yep.
A lot of Blackhawks today. Also Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. We have Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein. Lots to talk about when it comes to politics. And the swap meet. Greg Flamm. If you got memorabilia and that you want evaluated, but you want to give us the real story behind that memorabilia, why you put the dogs playing poker art in your foyer, your foyer.
I got a text message from one of our other producers on the other show asking, who's that guy you have on that talks about junk? There's a texter asking. That'd be Greg Flamm.
It's not junk. It's someone else's treasure.
That's right. That's the idea. And it's the fun part is the people call in with the story of how they got the junk. And I want to know how the Bridgeview? The town garage sale?
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about last week?
Dan Hampton's wife was telling me about that last weekend. Her friends live there, and she sent her son to go help assist because it's a... an
huge
all
deal,
day,
yeah.
Yeah, and he's big and strong, so
the whole town is having a garage.
Yeah, it was last weekend. This
it's like
weekend.
Called Treasure Weekend or something.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and they bring out all the, they do like everybody does a garage sale.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and Greg was reluctant in telling us about it because he didn't want a flood of people there to get in his way.
And didn't he tell us like the second week was the best one? It's called 2018 Treasure Days.
Yeah, in Bridgeview, right?
Yep.
And I think one of it's a north side, one of it's a south side.
Yeah,
this weekend south
is
side,
south right. of 79th Street.
What if you don't like to participate? Are you like shunned by your neighborhood?
I'll bet you are. That's such a great point. I'll bet you they're like, Kathy doesn't want to do this. She's out.
They throw eggs at your house, Mary.
Garage sales are a lot of work.
Like when you don't have candy for Halloween.
Have you ever had one?
No.
I know.
Oh, man.
As a kid, we did. Yeah.
I told myself I'm never having another one. It was so much work, and I made
$200.
That was it. And it was like
not worth it.
Probably 2 weeks of my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You do what I do and just put
Goodwill.
Just put it in that other closet. That's what I do. All right, let's do the top 6 of 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
All right, here's your top 6 at 6 for today, Thursday. What's today's date? Thursday the 13th.
The 13th.
That's right. Sorry. Put that together. Election board rules that Pat Quinn's Chicago mayor term limits plan. It's ineligible for the November ballot. That's crazy. And that story is funny because yesterday he was dealt a blow as well. And it was about that there just isn't any room on the ballot. Because they do this tricky thing in Chicago politics where aldermen will stuff the ballot with referendum questions that are, who cares? Do you like air? Would you like blue skies? Or would you like it to be purple? They do that on purpose so real issues can't get to the voters. It's a real tricky Chicago machine kind of thing. And they already did that to this. So the idea of mayoral term limits, which is an important thing that should be voted on by the people of Chicago, it can't make it to the ballot because there already are questions.
So when you get enough signatures to make it eligible to actually be considered, can you hold those over for the next time?
I don't think so. I think it's for that. Or otherwise, people would just do that all the time. I think you have to get signatures for that ballot.
Okay.
I think it would have been a great thing for us to vote on. Just it could even be non-binding. But this idea that to see where we are as a society when it comes
what
to
we think.
Term limits, if it's a totally overwhelming yes, no, you cannot do that, or it should be one term or two terms, then at least we know how we feel about our elected officials.
You know, naughty. It also seems like the move to preclude some of these questions, it seems like they're overriding the will of the people in a lot of ways, because you have to get lots of signatures to get one of these things on the ballot. You know, a small group
of
council people can stop it. It just doesn't seem right.
It's a leftover tactic, slimy tactic by Chicago politicians, and they do it all the time, and they act like they're kingmakers for it, and it's unfortunate because I think it's an issue that would be great to have on the ballot. All right, next, Alderman
Naughty.
Brian. Naughty. That is better than the quack, huh? Alderman Brian Hopkins says he has enough votes on the city council to create a registry to distinguish art from unwanted graffiti. Huh. And possibly make the city an attraction for street art. This is a direct, I guess, response to what happened at Cards Against Humanity right before the Amazon bid, where they had a mural on the side of their building and streets or the graffiti blasters blasted it, saying it was graffiti. And then this happened just a couple weeks ago to a well-known street artist. I think it was in Lakeview, where people thought it was, the neighbors complained because they thought it was graffiti, and they graffiti blasted art. I mean, there's hundreds and if not thousands of dollars. And they just graffiti. It's just amazing in 2018 that we're having this. We have to put an ordinance in that says you should probably find out if that's a piece of art or if that's graffiti.
Yeah, they might want to. Because we've been painting on buildings for a long time as art. So it's not like this is a first go at it, you know?
Exactly.
There's that building on the Edens that that's painted constantly, right. You know, with different themes. So
it would have been great if the graffiti blasters would have blasted the Dennis Rodman art back in the 90s.
Well, that building on the Kennedy. Right, is just south of Armitage, I think, which I want to say.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I called it the Edens.
Yeah, but I mean, that's something different all the time.
All the time.
It's always cool.
I just would love to see a couple of the graffiti blasters up there every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
we don't like this ad for Bank of America. It's got to go. Somehow they know that ad, right? They know the Bank of America. They're not going to touch that. But when it comes to street art, that's got to go.
Naughty. Hey, wait a minute.
Florence downgraded to a Category 2 storm. Winds up to 110 miles per hour, though. Expected to rage for days, starting with heavy winds along the coast this morning. This probably the bulk of it will be over the weekend. The interesting thing is, regardless of whether or not it's a horrific, life-threatening hurricane, the idea of it parking itself on a coast and dropping, you know, several inches of rain, it's going to be a nightmare when it comes to flooding for the rivers and surge and all that kind of stuff. So it's still a huge deal. May not be what they were, you know, when they were saying, I've never seen anything like this in terms of a hurricane. It's the idea that it's parking itself and just like Hurricane Harvey did in Houston and just dumping rain on the Carolina coast.
Yeah, I mean, some of the worst isn't going to hit like some of the areas of South Carolina till Sunday.
Yeah, and the computer models, they run a bunch of different computer models to see how much rain could fall. The high-end model yesterday was 93 inches of rain.
Jeez.
It's unlikely that will happen, but even if there's a, you know, the midpoint of that, that's, you're talking 50 inches of rain.
Do you know anything, Steve, about the infrastructure? You know how, like, Houston was a perfect storm? Sorry to say that. Because the way their city is built, it wasn't built well to take on water
like floodplain problems.
Yeah, but Carolina's
same thing in Carolina, although it's a coastal area, so there's a lot of there's a water culture there. I always think that's a big deal when it comes to dealing with storms. Is even though it didn't, you know, there could be massive storms like Hurricane Maria, but the Carolina coast is well prepared. At least when it comes to the culture of water or understanding how storms work.
Yeah, but once you get past, you know, 50 inches of precipitation, that will overwhelm the best of systems. So.
All right. The Food and Drug Administration saying the teenage use of vaping products has reached an epidemic proportion. This is a no-brainer, right? This is something that you personally.
This is like a number one topic with our kids' schools. It's all that they've gone zero tolerance on if you are even seen around other kids with vaping. It's like crackdown is.
So it's only a matter of time till we see like the ads, the MTV ads talking about how.
Was vaping okay in any school?
No.
Not that it's okay, but it came up upon so fast that there wasn't a rule against it, you know, and you got to set up the rules so that you can punish, you know. And it's so easy to hide. I think that's what the bigger problem is. Yeah. So,
and we still don't know how dangerous it is, right? I mean, there's no quantifiable data big studies that say, don't do it, you'll die tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, there's those commercials that run that say, hey, I got off smoking because I vape now, you know, like adults, not kids, but yeah, right. It can't be good. Anything you're breathing in can't be good.
It can't be good.
Right. Let's go live to Steve for a complete update on all released Apple products. Steve?
Live from Cupertino this morning, Steve. Everybody's talking about the Apple Watch update this morning, aside from the phones, the three new phones. The Apple Watch will now tell you when you're having a heart attack. Basically, the new feature.
Well, this is good news.
Yeah, it is. It will tell you.
I mean, would the pain be indicative as well, or do you need to wait for the watch?
It depends on if you have it on your right arm or your left arm. You know, they say the left arm is the first one. No, I'm just kidding about that.
Right.
But this will give you a sense of when you have an irregular heartbeat, and it'll also have an ECG function that is pretty much like medical quality. You'll be able to transmit. Potentially to the doctor, what's going on with your heart?
That's amazing.
That is very cool. But you'd hate to have to go to the comment section and say, you know, I died 3 weeks ago because this was a buggy. Functionality wasn't there. Two stars.
Yeah, that'll cause more anxiety.
Somewhat recommended.
And if you're wearing the watch when you buy the new iPhone, the Max iPhone, at $1,500, you might actually have a grabber.
No kidding. By the way, I was wrong yesterday. I thought the 6-inch size was mammoth. They don't measure the same way as TV screens. Oh, they're measured top to bottom. So the Note 8 that I have is the same size as the Big Apple.
What
they should call it, the Big Apple.
Right.
All right. Steve, sign off from Cupertino.
Live from Cupertino, California, I'm Steve Krasianich.
Dave is the only one with an iWatch on in here. Does it tell you
about it? It has heart
You've
rate
had it
monitor.
From the beginning.
Yeah, but sometimes the heart rate monitor seems a little off.
Oh, well, then I wouldn't use it. I would absolutely call a doctor.
Well, I don't think you're advised to use it for medical purposes, really.
What about whooping cough? Anything for that?
None.
There's no watch for whooping cough.
Nick on Entertainment next. Chuck Todd coming up. Pat Brady, Eric Adelstein, Frank Fontana, Walter Jacobson, Brian Campbell. Dean Richards. These aren't just random names of people I saw on the train. These are people who are actually on the show today. Next on 720 WGN.
Sassy.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
He is Nick at night. Did Julio. He knows what shows are good.
We interrupt this theme to bring Nick on because our hurricane news is keeping us short on time all week. Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Let's go through the movies. What'd you see with your parents?
We saw Peppermint, which is Jennifer Garner's Death Wish.
Oh, yeah. As bad as it sounds.
It awful. And here, let me just describe to you how racist this movie is. Every Latino in the movie has a face tattoo and wears a bandana. And there's a scene in the movie where she kills 20 Hispanics in a piñata factory.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, wow.
No.
I'm not kidding.
So, in other words, they count on the audience of this being so stupid, you got to hit them over the head with the cliches.
Yeah, I mean, because here's what happened. A friend of mine is a film critic. His name is Peter. He posted on his Facebook page, and he's a snarky guy, like most film critics. He's a snarky, smart aleck guy. And he posted, I don't want to say that Peppermint is a really racist movie, but there's a scene in it where Jennifer Garner kills 20 Hispanics in a pinata factory. And I went,
yeah, it's a bit.
That's funny. And then I'm in the theater with my parents, and she kills 20 Hispanics in a pinata factory. And I was like, wow. You've got to be kidding me. I thought it was a joke. Wow. It's unbelievable.
And again, keep in mind how many people are in the food chain to make a movie, and nobody said, are we really doing this? Is this really a good idea?
Yeah.
All right, so definitely take your parents to see Peppermint. If you don't have parents, get some. What's The Predator?
Ooh. The Predator is the latest in the movies about the Predator. You remember the original Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Sure.
And this is the ninth incarnation of it.
Yeah.
But it's Shane Black has put this one together, so I have real high hopes for it because, you know, Shane Black wrote Long Kiss Goodnight. He wrote and directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. He did Iron Man 3. He has a really great sense of humor about this stuff, and it's got a pretty remarkable cast. I mean, Keegan-Michael Key is in it, and it's a big action, crazy sci-fi movie. Olivia Munn, Thomas Jane, Sterling K. Brown. Everything I've heard about this movie is that it's escapist and it's really a lot of fun and it's very funny. And even Predator fans will enjoy it.
So I'm looking forward to that this weekend.
Well, we're going to two. We're going to see that one and the next one that we're going to talk about, which is A Simple Favor.
Which is?
Simple Favor is with Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick. It's written and directed by Paul Feig.
Isn't this Single White Female all over again? What is this?
No. Sorry?
She goes missing.
Yeah.
But is
Blake Lively asks Anna Kendrick, they're friends. Blake Lively asks Anna Kendrick to watch her child and then disappears. And the rest of the movie is about what happened to her, where'd she go, what's going on, and digging up a really dark past on Blake Lively's character. It's interesting because Paul Feig is responsible for this movie, and he does comedies.
Right.
He did Bridesmaids, he did Spy, he's done, you know, a lot of very funny movies. But this is sort of a twisted, you know, kind of dark, crazy thriller. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it looks great. I'm looking forward to it.
Nick, I already hate the husband. The husband creeps me out just from the previews.
Who's the husband?
I don't know. He's some guy with dark hair, but he's like, you know, what she kept private, she kept private. He scares me. I just don't trust him.
Paul Feig also, best TV show of all time, Freaks and Geeks.
All right, we're out of time. White Boy Rick, what is it?
That's the new Matthew McConaughey movie based on a true story.
Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm shorting you on Matthew McConaughey movies, but I hope it's good.
Well, he plays the father of a 15-year-old kid. It's based on a true story. The kid becomes a drug dealer, a drug kingpin, an FBI informant, and it's based on a true story. The guy who this is in real life, he's still in prison, and McConaughey plays his father. And again, this is supposed to be good, too. So I think it might be a strong weekend for movies.
See a movie with Nick. Phantasm, October 2nd at the AMC Rosemont 18. How do you get tickets?
You can go to amctheaters.com. It's one movie, and I'm not making this up. It's one of my favorite horror films of all time. We're doing it for Halloween. Phantasm. I'm not exaggerating this. In the summer of 79, when it came out, I saw it over 100 times in the theater.
And people say you have trouble keeping a wife. Stop it already. Thank you, buddy. It's time for the news. Headlines and Chuck Todd.
I'm friends with the monster.
Oh, he's a monster.
I'm sitting there tweeting. Bing, 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 tweet.
Bing, bing, bing,
I love
bing.
You. It's a guy, but I love you.
6:40. Here's my pal Chuck Todd, MTP Daily, the 1947 podcast, Meet the Press. Without Chuck, you know nothing. What's going on with your Nationals? What a disappointing year.
So, I have to say, I almost went off and ran on this on Twitter last night, but I had a, I decided not to. But I saw the news that just two teams were above the luxury tax threshold.
Mm-hmm.
One is the Boston Red Sox, perhaps putting together the greatest regular season in the history of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The only other team was the Washington Nationals.
Nine out with the 19 to play or whatever it is?
Yeah. There's so many horrendous things, but the management of this team, not just on the field, but in the front office, they decided not to do anything at the trade deadline. When they were still in it, they're actually now starting to play pretty well. Had they actually gotten a starting pitcher, Cole Hamels, gotten a couple more relievers, kept Matt Adams and kept Daniel Murphy, I'm telling you, this team's probably three back of Atlanta right now, and it's a real pennant race.
Is it?
It's a total mismanagement.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it the GM? It's the GM, isn't it?
The owners are just weirdly cheap. And I mean this in an odd way. On one hand, they're willing to go over the luxury tax. On one hand, they're willing to do this long-term contract for Scherzer and Strasburg. On the other hand, God forbid they spend any money on a manager.
Right.
Don't pay for a manager.
Yeah.
Well, big mistake. This team is missing Jason Worth and Dusty Baker.
Yeah, Dusty Baker won for two years.
That's right. And Jason Worth was a coach inside the clubhouse. He just was. I mean, Bryce Harper, you know, that was his big brother. That's who was teaching Bryce Harper to be a major leaguer. And without Worth there, you can just tell there was no leader in that club.
You don't like our guy, Davey Martinez, huh? Came over there from...
He's terrible.
He was the bench coach for the Cubs, right?
Yeah, but he's not a manager.
Here's the thing. Look, he may become a great manager someday. Mm. But why do you... Let me ask you this. If you have a brand new Lamborghini...
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to give it to your 16-year-old?
No, it's a bad idea.
Who just got his driver's license?
It's a bad idea, Chuck. It's a bad idea. I'm going to tell you
That's
right now.
I'm
don't
saying.
Give your Lamborghini
I did
Davey to your
Martinez.
Kid.
Right. Don't give. We had a Lamborghini here in Washington on paper. And Why do you do a first-time manager?
And you only get a small window to win. Now your pitching's getting old. But let's talk about what really matters in America today, outside of the incredible storm that we're about to deal with, which is obviously the most important story. The second most important story is, I am not a typical Bears fan. I respect the Packers and their success.
We're doing sports talk, huh?
That's right. That's right. I respect the Packers. I respect the Packers, your Packers, and their success. But when Aaron Rodgers comes out of the locker room and says, I heard the ovation, so I decided we should probably win, I wanted to Nancy Kerrigan his other leg.
Can I just tell you, look, at halftime, I was at a Rush Sun dinner with family. We're in the car. My son alerts me that they've carted off Rodgers. He's got tears welling up in his eyes. He's like, oh, my God, football season's over already. What are we going to do? And then, you know, as always, the Bears-Packer rivalry, the Packers are the hammer and the Bears are the nail. But I will say this. Mike Ditka's Chicago Bears would have blitzed 11 guys every time Aaron Rodgers tried to pass.
Yep. Absolutely.
I don't get.
You don't give him that kind of time.
I mean, I don't mean to taunt you guys, but that was about the most abysmal second half coaching I have seen in any football game that didn't involve Mike McCarthy on the other side.
And our new coach was still playing EA Sports Madden 18. So with his fancy formations and stuff. Look, it's frustrating. But things are changing here.
At least you got another one of these great linebackers who will never win a Super Bowl with the Bears, so that'll be great.
Wow.
Chuck, ladies and gentlemen.
Chuck's
good to have
bringing
Chuck on,
it.
As always.
Thank you very much.
Bringing
my Chicago ratings.
Bringing
right
it.
There they go.
All right, so here's my question. FEMA is not run by Donald Trump on a cell phone. FEMA is run by the FEMA folks to do the right thing. Funding, of course, is important. It's vital. It's crucial. You can't do it without funding. But regardless of whatever tweets we're seeing, FEMA's on the job and ready to go for Florence. Correct or incorrect?
Yes. And, you know, at the end of the day, the organization is run by career professionals. And ever since Katrina, you know, it has been revamped, and it is a very responsive disaster response. I do think people conflate about, you know, at some point FEMA is supposed to hand it off to the rest of the federal government. And in the case of this, the rest of the federal government, for instance, in the case of Puerto Rico, has dropped the ball. But, you know, what FEMA's job is, to defend FEMA here, is the instant, right, is dealing with the first 90 days, the first 100 days after a disaster. I do think sometimes the public has unrealistic expectations for what FEMA can and can't do.
Right.
For what it's worth.
Right. And the good news here is the winds are dropping. The bad news here is the storm surge isn't. Are you going to get any of this in D.C.?
You know, the thing that it's making that left hook in South Carolina, it should look. The big fear here was the water and was all the rain and the flooding. And look, I mean, we've had an extraordinarily wet summer in the Mid-Atlantic, and there was a lot of concern about that, and I think that's going to be a big problem for North Carolina. I mean, Charlotte has never experienced something like this. I'm very worried, you know, even though Charlotte's very inland, they've never experienced a rain event like this.
Right.
Because they're thinking 72 hours. I mean, I have a friend of mine whose parents live in Wilmington, North Carolina, that said it's like being stalked by a turtle, right? They've been just watching this thing, and you're like, is it ever going to come ashore? We just want to start cleaning up, right? We just want to start going home.
Ugh. A really angry turtle who's going to spend the entire weekend. That's the key. All right, so I'm watching MTP Daily yesterday, and you made had a great segment on how the Senate could be back in play, even though the House seems to be almost conceded to the Dems now. Explain how the Senate could still be a shot for the Dems.
Well, look, it's a shot for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, it's not like waves skip states, right? And even though, yes, the Democratic Senate map was heavily in red state territory, you know, the same issues happen in every state, to just the degree with which they happen. The other thing that this is an accumulation of is that the Republicans didn't have a good recruiting season in their Senate race. They got B candidates in some of their key races, whether it was Indiana, West Virginia, North Dakota, Missouri. And then they got like C and D candidates in places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Wisconsin. And the reason I point out those last four is that a year ago, the reason why nobody was talking about the Senate, the Democrats having a shot at the Senate wasn't because of Indiana, West Virginia, and North Dakota. It was because they had those races plus Michigan, Pennsylvania, you know, these states, the new states that Trump won. But those states aren't in play. So Democrats aren't playing nearly the amount of defense that they thought they were going to be playing. I mean, really, Florida. I mean, if it wasn't for Rick Scott, the Republican governor, that they got to run for the U.S. Senate in Florida, we'd say the Senate is 50-50 to see which way it's going. I mean, Rick Scott is basically the one-man brigade that is forcing the Democratic Party to spend a ton of money, and obviously, you know, the third most populous state. So it is making up a bit for the lack of, you know, think about this, the battle for the Senate is the spread offense, right? If the Republicans could have successfully run the spread offense here, they'd be forcing, you know, single coverage in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Florida, never mind. And then do you think Democrats would be able to play offense in Tennessee, Arizona, Nevada, and Texas too?
Right.
You know, so it does, they have allowed, to bring this back to our sports talk, they've allowed the Democrats not to leave races exposed. And now that you have the environment that you have, suddenly all these races are coin flips. And if they're all coin flips in a wave election, one of the things we've learned is most 50-50 races tip in the same direction in a wave election. Every 51-49 races usually breaks the same way, which is why, you know, 2006, Democrats won the Senate by, I think, a collective margin of 20,000 votes in three races, but they picked up six seats.
Right, and those are the numbers that matter.
Chuck, another story in Washington, you know, the confirmation hearings for the Supreme Court have moved into the questionnaire phase, questionnaire that was answered or non-answered by Judge Kavanaugh. A lot surrounding his finances, though, that have come out, including some senators questioning if he has a gambling addiction. Where is this coming from?
I don't know, and I have to tell you, I've been watching the Senate Democrats on this, and it screams of desperation. Maybe there's something there, maybe there isn't. But boy, careful of innuendo without knowing stuff. It just feels like the Democrats are just going, well, we can't get them on this, can't get them on this, can't get them on this. Let's try this, let's try this, and it does feel as if they're just seeing what sticks. I don't understand why they just didn't have one strategy here. And what is it that matters to their voters more than anything else? It's abortion rights. And instead, they went to Mueller and they went to his finances and they've gone to, and you're just, frankly, you're not even on topic. You know, even if you, don't you think if you lose on Kavanaugh, don't you want to lose on the substance? You know, that way you go this way, and the Democrats look no better than, you know, it just feels like they're using, you know, for all the criticism they make of Donald Trump for using salacious sort of attacks sometimes.
Yeah, doing exactly the same thing.
Why are they doing the same thing? I mean, this borrowing of Trump, this has been the point that some of us have been making for a while. It's like, you know, to quote Daniel Patrick Moynihan, we're, you know, defining deviancy down, we're defining political discourse down. And you know, we're never...
One of the emails,
we're never getting it back. The Democrats are borrowing the same tax.
Yeah, exactly. One of the emails is actually post boys trip, which is all about don't tell the wives. I don't know what this has to do with the Supreme Court. So I'm in the same camp as you. This is desperation.
Yeah,
however, I don't think his wife is going to vote for him now.
Right. It sounds like Brett Kavanaugh was a normal human being who had normal human interactions. Who has normal decisions that some people think, really? You spend all that money on baseball season tickets? Guess what? Yes. All right. I'm an idiot that does that same thing, too. And, you know, some people would look at my finances and say, what are you doing spending all that money on that? Well, that's what people choose to spend their money on.
Right.
You know, it's their money. Exactly.
All right. Now, before we run, you do realize that if Rodgers does get hurt, you don't win again the rest of the year.
Oh, by the way, that is so clear. And my new favorite nickname on another Kaiser Soso. Deshaun Kaiser is the backup. And I love that. He is Kaiser Soso. I have no confidence. Hey, we at least have the best division in football, I think.
I think that's true.
Although the Lions.
The head coach of the Lions is hoping to hide behind Belichick while he's still in Detroit. It's ugly there.
Just remember, as bad as things get, at least we're not Lions fans. That's that good. Is rough.
That's true. No, amen. Hey, you know what? You that was very bipartisan of you.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to bring us together at the NFC North.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Chuck. Thank you.
You got it, guys.
See you later. Chuck Todd from MSNBC, NBC, the internets, and your house. He's everywhere. Lighten out of Dave Ennett for your review of Avenue Q. Dave, what is it?
Avenue Q is a very entertaining musical.
Entertaining. Can feature. You think of any other adjectives that would describe
it's,
it?
It's a nottingly, and that's not a word, is it?
Nottingly?
It's a very entertaining, kind of naughty,
oh, naughty.
Musical. Yes.
Nice. Would you very also describe sassy. Oh, sassy as well. All yes. right, then. Sassy. Avenue Q tickets.
You just love it, don't you?
Avenue Q now playing at the Mercury Theater, Chicago. Seventh sassy caller now at 312-981-7200. You're
sassy.
The winner.
You should get a raunchy in there, too.
Ooh,
now, raunchy starts to get more into your adult area.
Yeah.
But it's an Avenue Q is a...
Is it raunchy, Dave?
It's a little raunchy.
There is some raunchiness to it, yes.
Is it raunchy?
Not in a bad way.
See, when you say it, you sound
raunchy
like
a, in a good way.
See, when you say it, you sound like a dirty old man. When he says it, it's amusing.
I'm just doing an impression.
773-325-1700, MercuryTheaterChicago.com. Seventh caller, again, a winner of those tickets. Steve, I know you're doing details on Florence in just a second, but storm surge continues to be the issue?
It does, and also these rain bands. A new forecast of rain just out has some of these areas around Wilmington at 40 inches of rain. And then even some of the further out areas are 12 and 13 inches of rain. So the storm surge and then the heavy rain as this storm just kind of parks and dumps rain for the next couple of days. It's going to be very serious.
And now the left-hand turn looks like it's going to loop down below Charleston, even down below Savannah. So northeastern Georgia is at least in flood trouble here. It continues, and this is the Steve Cochran Show. We're coming up in a matter of seconds. Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from Northwestern Medicine's newsroom, WGN Radio.
The voice and wake-up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
7:13, let's talk a little politics here with Pat Brady. Pat Brady runs the Pat Brady conglomerate of organizations, Pat Brady Worldwide. What's the name of your company?
Next Generation Strategies.
All right, and the Lincoln Forum News is what?
Rick Wilson this Wednesday. You're going to have him on tomorrow morning. He wrote the book, Everything Trump Touches Dies.
And Rick Wilson is who, for people that don't know?
He's from Florida. He's just a pundit and a guy that has a big Twitter following and just wrote this book. But okay. a lot of people very angry at me for bringing him in. But I'm like, hey, we don't endorse the speaker's views, but he's a very interesting guy.
We also don't endorse either party.
No, that's why Eric and I do it together, because right. It's nonpartisan.
Right. All right, so we were talking to Chuck Todd a few minutes ago about the Senate being in play to a degree that it maybe wasn't even 24 or 48 hours ago. Are you on the same page?
Yeah. It seems it's changed since the summer. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but I think these races are closer, and I agree with him. Rick Scott down in Florida, who's dead even right now. But Missouri's dead even. Ted Cruz seems to be having some problems. It could be. But
what about locally? We have a congressional races in the House. Is there any? They're obviously pointing at the Roscom Kasten.
It's the 6th and the 12th, right?
Yeah,
the 6th and the 12th of the two.
Will it be as contentious as it is everywhere else?
I don't think so. I think we're south downstate. We're pretty safe because Trump's popular downstate. In the Roscom race, and Chuck mentioned 2006 when the big wave came in, it was the worst year for Republicans ever. Peter Roscom won that year against everybody, including he beat Tammy Duckworth, a formidable candidate, but it was David Axelrod, Rahm Emanuel. Everyone came in after Peter Roscom, and he won. Remember, we drew that. The Republicans, that district was drawn for much more for a Republican than it is for Sean Kasten. Sean's a nice guy. We saw him at the debate, but Peter, I think, is popular in the district, but it's going to be a tough year for Republicans.
So you have run into the governor in the past couple of days. Polls seem to continue to indicate double-digit deficits. Any panic?
Those are Democrat polls.
On the runner's side?
No. I think.
By the way, the governor's on tomorrow? Is that right?
He is on tomorrow. I don't have a time yet, though.
Okay.
No, it's
Ron, 6 to 10, governor.
It's about five right now.
5 points?
5 to 6, yep. And I think the numbers that I've seen are going the right direction. I mean, it's still always an uphill climb in Illinois for a Republican to win. But the thing that still astounds me about the Pritzker campaign, they're sticking with this run on we're going to increase your taxes. And some people did some figuring on the numbers of the programs that he wants to put in, which would be an extra $10 billion on our $35 billion budget. That will raise our income taxes from 5 to 7%. And I can't understand how they think that's an effective strategy for anybody other than the public sector unions.
What's it being hid behind? You know, in messaging.
It's not. He's flat out saying it.
Well, he's not saying, vote for me and I'll raise your taxes. No, how is he wording
it? Yes, he is. He's saying we're going to do a progressive income tax.
Right, but that's my point. A progressive income tax translates to regular people as...
I'm going to raise your taxes.
Right, but regular people don't translate it that specifically.
But isn't a progressive income tax the idea of putting a tax on people who make more money? So it's more of a 1% tax than it is when you say he's going to raise your taxes. Your is the pronoun is interpretive.
No, no. Not really. He hasn't disclosed the details of what that tax could be. And there were proposals in Springfield in the last session to have a tax increase for anybody making above $25,000 a year. And the programs he's talking about, there's not enough 1%ers to support $10 billion in new revenue. So we're all going to get an income tax increase. And one of the things also was out this week about a mileage tax on commuters, a cent and a half per mile, put a GPS in your car. I mean, it's just some crazy stuff that I think is way too far left.
The Pritzker campaign pushed back on that, saying that, I mean, he put out ads too, saying that that's being taken out of context. But I'm just pointing it out.
It's hard to take that one out of context.
The idea of the mileage stuff is something that they dispute. There's a piece out today about that Illinois employers are warning of possible layoffs and 1,200, 1,500 jobs. That's on Rauner's watch. Is there a concern that this is bad timing for the governor when it comes to the economy in the state of Illinois, sort of having this little tick?
Well, of course it's bad news. He's governor. You don't want to hear that. But the reality is, I think businesses are forward-looking. And right now, if the Democrats putting out the narrative that this election's over, of course they're leaving. You know, we can't survive in a state where we've got a J.B. Pritzker that's going to raise your taxes more. We're taxed to death in this state. We need to have some reform.
The thing I don't understand is the lack of positive messaging on either side, positive meaning for the candidates. J.B. Pritzker needs to address the property tax question that he's clearly guilty on. He hasn't addressed it in any way. And the governor needs to address the fact that he's perceived, regardless of how true failure is, he's perceived as a failure for the first 4 years and needs to do a better job of explaining why he's not and why he needs more time. What are these two waiting for?
Well, I think that's what the governor's going to do today at 2:00 in his speech, make lessons learned and then where we're going to go going forward. So I think he is trying to do that. But the reality is, Eric could probably agree with me on this, the political reality is negative ads work. In 2010, probably the nastiest campaign I've ever seen, Alexi versus Senator Kirk. It was a race to the bottom, and I remember the donors were screaming, we need to talk positive, we need to talk positive, and the consultant said, nope, we're going negative, and you know what? It worked.
I understand that, but it also tamps down turnout.
I agree.
So that's what keeps it in the pocket of the right or the left and knocks the middle out, because now we don't know who's going to show up to vote. That's the same thing on a national level as well. But first, it's 7:19. Before we come back with the most valuable person on the planet, Eric Adelstein and more.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game. For I've seen other teams and it's never the same.
Most valuable person on the planet in just a moment. And yes, it has a Chicago Cubs tie. And it's a great story. Eric Adelstein joins Pat Brady now. And Eric, where do you work?
I work at AL Media.
We're talking about turnout just before the break. On a national level, you're certainly not going to give Republicans, even if they're viciously anti-Trump, they're not going to come out and vote in the House races if they believe Nancy Pelosi is going to be Speaker. So if they stay home, do you have the same sort of effect on the Democrat side, where the Democrats would stay home in races where they would refuse to vote for the Republican?
I don't even understand that, but
the point being, does
he
turnout
totally lost me too much? What
does turnout
start over and go?
Wow,
slow. Just go slow.
You, use your words.
Yeah.
All right, you two. Okay, first
breathe
off,
through your nose. Just your nose.
First off, you two.
Yeah. Get him, Steve. Get him, Steve.
You two are. You two better enjoy your last appearance on this show.
is turnout tamped down by hatred of a candidate?
It can be. What I will tell you is there are two data points that are relevant. One is in the lab and one is in reality. The reality is in the elections we've had, we've seen increased Democratic turnout and we've seen decreased Republican turnout. In every poll I've seen of the general election, there's a standard question that the pollsters ask of everyone they ask in the poll. They say, how excited are you to vote in this election? And over, state after state, district after district, the Democrats are excited. The Republicans, not so much.
And that goes to
Democrats are always excited.
I don't know, Pat. There's a few elections, 2010, 2014. They weren't so excited.
We had 2006. That didn't go so well.
No.
There's a new poll that's out this morning that seems to echo the CNN poll earlier this week and a couple others. It's a Quinnipiac poll. It says Americans would rather vote for the Democratic candidate in their local race for the House of Representatives. So does the blue wave become a tsunami is the question.
Yeah, look, I retired from the prediction business after 2016. I keep every time I go on YouTube.
I do remember you and Pat both promising me that Donald Trump
would win.
Have
you seen those montage videos of all the geniuses saying Donald Trump would never be president? Mm-hmm. No, but look, I can't predict tsunami, wave, hurricane, whatever it's going to be. It looks like if you're weighing the odds that Democrats have a great chance to take over the House just based on the way things are going. The Senate is much, much trickier. I think it's a coin toss either way, given the way the states line up. You know, it could go either way. But yeah, look, I think if you look at the historical markers, midterm election should be bad for the new president. But you look at the economic numbers overall, it should be pretty good for him. But this guy has just blown every advantage. He's blown every message opportunity he's had to have a message for Republicans. And I think you're starting to see that in these polls. And those generic ballot numbers do start to matter after Labor Day. You know, which when you see them in the spring and the winter, it doesn't matter so much. But now that concrete starts to harden, and it's really hard to start to turn those things around as people focus.
But aren't those generic polls mean you're going to vote for Republican or Democrat? For it to actually be even, the Democrats have to be up about 6 or 7?
I mean,
that's what I'm telling everybody.
It's a good spin point. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you'd have to go look at the side by side in the years that the House swung. I don't know that the difference was that much, but the advantage just seems to be more than 6 at this point.
None of this allows you not to vote. None of this gets you off the hook to vote. You still have to go out, and the nagging will continue. Let's see the most valuable person on the planet, and both of you could jump in on this and congratulate this fella because he is something else. Joining us on the phone right now is Eddie Ratzik, who's back at work at Wrigley after a massive heart attack. Eddie, first off, how you feeling?
I feel great. Actually, last night was only my third complete game of the season, but I felt great. I felt like I could have kept on going.
This past April, I should say, you went to the gym in the morning, and then you decided you weren't feeling all that great. And what happened from there?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have any recollection of it, but based on the series of events, I called my brother telling him I wasn't feeling very well, and he kind of talked me through it a little bit and convinced me to go to the hospital instead of coming home, and instead I ended up at the Skokie Police Department because I realized I wasn't going to make it to the hospital, where Officer Patrick Panizo of the Skokie PD took the first step in literally saving my life by using an AED, and then eventually ended up getting to the hospital.
Yeah, I'm told you flatlined. You flatlined at the police station?
Apparently, yes, more than once.
How about that? Now, you've been a vendor at Wrigley for 15 years. You're back at work carrying 30 pounds of beer. Is it beer, I assume?
Yes.
Hey, Eddie, what's your call? Like, what do you say? Beer here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I sell Goose Island.
Well, let me hear it. Sell me a little Goose Island. Let me hear it.
Hey, beer man, Goose Island here. Hey, beer.
I think you ought to work in, hey, I'm just back from a heart attack. I'm likely to tip you more.
Well, yeah, that's it. Apparently, a lot of people recognized me last night from the.
I mean, you were all over the TV.
That aired on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well,
everywhere.
It's a great story. You're a lifelong Cubs fan, and you used to go to the games, and now you've been working for the team forever. Do you guys get a chance to actually watch much of the game? Because sometimes I'll see the beer guy who sort of lingers in the park and is watching more of the game than he's selling. Do you have those moments where you can break the rhythm and do that?
Absolutely, especially if it's a close game like last night. It's an exciting game. During the World Series, you know, 2 years ago in the playoffs, the last couple of years, I spent a lot of time watching, especially towards the end of the game when things are getting close to finishing. And yeah, absolutely, it's you almost have to take advantage of the fact that you get in there for free and catch at least a few minutes of a real exciting game.
Hey, Eddie, in during your rehab and coming back, even in the middle of the summer, the Cubs were like, hey, here's let's give you lighter fare because of the rehab and the cardiac rehab. But you chose to go back into selling beer.
Full pack, 30 pounds, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. I just felt I didn't, if I was going to come back, I was going to come back. I guess I didn't want to cheat myself into selling something else. You know, I've been a beer vendor, and I wanted to come back selling beer.
You know, Dave, I like this because this is like when an athlete blows out a knee. The first time you take a turn on that rehab knee, you wonder if it's going to hold.
Right.
So the first time Eddie straps on the beer, he's got to wonder.
That erases the doubt, right? All right, Eddie, I have a job-related question for you. What is the proper amount to tip a beer vendor at Wrigley Field? What do you consider satisfactory?
Well, yeah, you know what? It shouldn't be any different than when you're going out and you're sitting in a bar and drinking. Whatever you tip that bartender, that's pretty much exactly what how we should get tipped as well.
All right, so you're selling Goose Island. How much is Goose Island at Wrigley?
$10.50.
All right, so $10.50. So what is it, $2 for a beer, tip-wise?
Well, I mean, that would be nice.
What do you normally get, $1?
A dollar is good. Anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar is good. We're happy with that.
Who's handing you 50 cents?
Oh, because if I give you $10.50, you don't
take all the change back.
Yeah,
give him 11, and you know, call it a day.
Keep it corner, Eddie.
Yeah, it's definitely better than getting stiff. That's for sure. Yeah,
do you come back to the big tippers?
Well, I come back to the people who buy, because in the end it all works right, out. So
well, listen, we're just glad you're feeling good, pal, and you know, don't ever not listen to your body. You really saved your own life by doing what you did. Sure, you called your brother first, but between your brother and the police and your own sense, you saved your own life. So do what the doctor tells you, and things are going to be good.
I fully intend to. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Eddie, thanks, Eddie, being on. Keep up the good work, and Dave will be out for his free beer soon.
I'm going to tip generously. Thanks, Eddie.
But not you have to pay the rest, too. You don't just tip.
Dave said he'd do 75 cents.
Really?
That's
not true. I'm a very generous tipper.
Eddie Raichik, more with Pat and more with Eric and more with you and all that coming up. But first, the headlines are next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. But I know I've got one thing I
got. 7:43. Eric Edelstein's here. Pat Brady's here. The Lincoln Forum is something they do together, a bipartisan attempt to have actual political discussions without people screaming at each other. And the next one again is when, Pat?
It is next Wednesday. We have Rick Wilson, who wrote the book, Everything Trump Touches Dies.
I think one of the reasons people like you two is because even though you agree on very little, You don't yell at each other, because we got too much of that going on. Too much of that going on every night on television and on the radio and everywhere else.
I agree. It's funny. I was watching some channel, and there's now at USC, University of Southern California, they have a school with Mike Murphy and is it Mike Shrum? Who's the Democrat, Eric?
Bob Shrum.
Yeah. Where that's the goal of their
Yeah, Sam, we need to get them on. Shrum and Mike Murphy. Talk about this attempt at bipartisan.
I can get you Shrum's contact info.
All right.
So let's give it out on the air
right
now.
Look at you, buddy.
Yeah.
Eric knows people.
I know people.
Isn't Mike Murphy the guy that used to be on the radio?
No, that's a different Mike Murphy, but Mike Murphy.
All the sound effects.
Yeah, Mike Murphy is a guy that was a regular on Meet the Press, and then he became Jeb Bush's campaign guy.
He ran McCain in 2002. Right.
He's one of the funniest people.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's not the former safety for the Green Bay Packers.
He's different Mike Murphy. One more Mike Murphy.
I bet you I know 10 Mike Murphys.
So we talked about this a bunch, Eric, but every time we come back to it, it's the same thing. It's like the deeper this gets, where the Republicans seem like they're trying to hand all of this to the Democrats on a platter, the more confused the Democrats seem to be as to what to do with it. So who's going to actually figure this out for the Democrats? Exactly.
Crickets. Do you have the cricket sound effect?
It's just stunning that nobody has been able to step up.
Why don't you go and get Rahm Emanuel to bring back the blueprint for how to win in Congress?
Yeah, I mean, he's been the architect of the last takeover the Democrats had, and that, you know,
he's got to be getting those phone calls.
We had tremendous message discipline. We had good candidate recruitment. It's always a challenge when you don't have any control of any of the levers of government. So there's no one spokesperson. Obviously, the former president doesn't want to play that role, even though he's come out more lately and do that. We have an older party leadership. I do think, while it's fair to be critical, there is some health in the sort of internal battle of different voices trying to say, this is the Democratic Party or this is what it should be as you head into 2020. I do think our party needs to do a much better. Chuck was talking about it on the Kavanaugh confirmation, you know, just with speaking with one voice, but more importantly, having a positive vision. It can't all just be about, you know, we're not Donald Trump. There's got to be a positive agenda. It's got to be an economic agenda. It's got to be all the boats rise. I think there are some powerful voices out there, but it's not really getting
out. Let me ask both of you guys. President Obama, down at the University of Illinois, he wades in where this gets a little bit to be unique behavior for a former president. These are unique times, but what do you think of that? The idea of the former president of the United States becoming political and doing stump speeches for the midterm.
Pat? Fires up our side. I hope they bring out Hillary next. Let's talk about the good old days.
Is there a backfire kind of thing for that?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, there's the protocol issue of former presidents don't criticize their successor. But, you know, protocol in the Trump era, what is that? You know, that's sort of been thrown out. I mean, even you've seen, like, LeBron James speaking out, a guy who's always protected his brand and said, not. I mean, I think there's that feeling, and it goes from the Obamas and the Jameses to just everyday people who've said, I can't sit by while this train wreck happens in our country because there's too much at stake.
So. But Obama was able to deliver for Obama in big numbers. Outside of getting millennials to come out and vote,
right?
This is a risky strategy because he really didn't get anybody else elected other than him.
No, he didn't. Although, you know, he still is a powerful voice with younger voters, with African-American voters, with other sort of base Democrats. So I don't think it's a backlash vote as much as I think it will be a help. And let me just say one other thing. More importantly than the tactical impact, it's the right thing to do.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, Obama, James, these people, we should all be speaking out in this moment, regardless of the electoral consequences.
I hold in my hand.
I do not agree it's the right thing for the former president to do that. I think protocol-wise, you need to, that's just something that's been followed for a long time. Why did he go to Champaign?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure.
And the
award.
What was it?
He was there getting an award.
He was getting an award.
Okay, so it wasn't.
And the question too is not unlike what you saw with Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell and the blowing up the way that the Senate votes on things. Now you've broke precedent. So the next former president, which will be Donald Trump.
Yeah,
he can do whatever he wants.
I want to thank Harry Reid. We got two very conservative Supreme Court justices.
All right. Now that you all are happy, let me tell you about the latest tweet. Because this comes from the tweetery of President Donald J. Trump.
I haven't heard it.
And in any time, we can all agree you can't be outraged at everything. Hurricane Florence is about to really destroy a lot of lives in this country. Donald Trump this morning, word for word, 3,000 people did not die in the two hurricanes that hit Puerto Rico. When I left the island after the storm, they had somewhere between 6 and 18 deaths. As time went by, it did not go up by much. Then a long time later, they started to report really large numbers, like 3,000.
So is he suggesting that it's fake? That these lives did not...
It's hard to go inside the broken Six Flags between his two ears.
That's an accusation. I mean, if people...
Well, forget about the accusation. This is the president of the United States on a day that people are going to die who is questioning statistics that came out from his own government this week that said 3,000 Americans died. I mean, what is it going to take for people to understand what a train wreck this guy is? Anyone?
Listen, I can't disagree with you.
He's just a horrible human being. He is just a horrible human being. I have no problem, as Pat knows, and we've talked, like, someone I disagree with ideologically and don't always get along. But this guy, you could go down to Cook County Jail right now, and I bet 80% of the people there have more character than this guy. He's just a horrible person.
Well, we do have a follow-up. This just in. This was done by Democrats in order to make me look bad. Mm. When I was successfully raising billions of dollars to help rebuild Puerto Rico, if a person died for any reason, like old age, just put them on the list. Bad politics. I love Puerto Rico.
I understand it doesn't get any worse than this. I feel like the accusation there that they're inflating numbers of Americans who died, that's a startling accusation from the President of the United States. I understand everything is startling from the president
this
right now.
This is worse.
But that to me is a very...
This is beyond the
timing with Hurricane Florence. The idea that you were saying that did not happen, then investigate. Let's find out.
Guys, he's a genius. This is a big Republican plan. This is going to stop the blue wave. This is all... Right, Eric? You see the genius?
Oh, yeah. He's brilliant.
Let's see. This is...
They're, like, 36% this week?
Yeah. This is my concern.
It's really working for him.
Yes. We've been putting up with this jackassery for so long, for a year and a half. People aren't even outraged by this.
You're right.
Well, I'm outraged. I mean, I'm just saying.
I think they are.
It's just I don't know if the outrage can funnel up anymore.
It doesn't.
This is why you have to vote.
Exactly. It does not matter to him until November.
Right. It doesn't matter to him. Period.
No, but it'll matter to others that are going to stop playing ball with it. If we lose, probably going to lose the House anyway. But if we lose the Senate, this is all over for him.
There's nothing else to add. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Man, your face is beat red right
now. Look,
man,
listen.
Cochran's head's going to explode.
Listen, I'm a little worried about this country. I don't know if you guys heard. 7:51, Coach Q in a second, which is good. We need him.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Coach Q loves the Who, so we play the Who for Coach Q, who joins us now. Good to see you the other day at the golf tournament, Coach.
Hey, you looked, I watched you swinging out there. Man, you're crushing the ball.
Yeah, I hit it hard. I hit it angry. How'd you play? Did you have fun?
We had a great group. We had a lot of fun. I was terrible, but the group was good.
I doubt that. All right, I want to talk to you about Training Camp Festival, but this is a good time of year because we always look forward to hearing from you. Kids that may be the stars of tomorrow, kids that really are looking promising, kids that you have your eye on. Anybody in particular?
Well, we've got Cahoon coming into camp that we acquired this summer, signing him. Looking forward to seeing him in the prospect camp up in Traverse City. I think he did well. A couple guys that came in at the end of the year, college kids, and the big Edsel kid. Looking forward to seeing him. I think we have our guys that from juniors that looking forward to him, the Bodine, the Boquist of the world on defense, two first rounders. They did well. Yoki Haruhu had a really good year, progressed last year, had a good development camp this summer. I think he looked well in Traverse City as well. So looking forward to seeing the Lumber guys, but I think the young D probably seeing some progress from them would be nice to see.
The difference between when you came up and now, I suppose, is you have film on everybody and tape on everybody even before you see the person for real, right?
Well, sometimes you can. The guys that we drafted, we have no part of that. When you're looking and evaluating, these guys have seen a number of players. We have a number of scouts that watch all these guys, and now that we have them, we get to see them now, and we can look back and watch film if we like. I like seeing the real deal here, and they get a pretty good assessment now, and then when you have them, you get constant reports, and our staff is out in the fields and watching these guys developing, working with their coaches and working with the players, and as they're whether back in junior or college teams, and so we get a pretty good beat on these guys once we do get them in the organization.
And Joel, everybody gets a chance to see them at the Training Camp Festival on Saturday. What's the highlight of this event for you?
I think it's a great event, Dave, when I think about the fans getting to see everybody, for the players to get out there in United Center Ice for the first time and you see the building full, everybody screaming and yelling, and you know, the anthem, the real buzz of a game there. So I think it's a it's good for the young guys. I think it's great for our fans, and you know, get to see some of these guys for the first time, and hopefully they grow and be a big part of the Blackhawks' future as well. I just think seeing the building full and enthusiasm right away in camp, I think it's healthy for everybody, and it's a good sign for the start of a new season.
There's been so much made, Coach, about playing at the United Center, playing in Chicago, other teams coming in. There's, you know, so many different players and coaches talk about the atmosphere. The atmosphere is important. When it comes to training camp and practice and getting involved, is it good to have that atmosphere for the players so they get used to it?
I think, well, that's a good point, but I think it's a great thrill to play in that, and I think it provides incentive to leave it all out there, and it's a real game, and it's we're evaluating, we're making decisions, and we always tell the players that that we're all watching, making decisions, but at the end of the day, you guys are making them for us based on how you play and compete. So that's all part of it, and it provides more incentive when the building's full. But I think everybody likes to play in front of a big crowd, a loud crowd, enthusiastic crowd, supportive crowd. So I think that everybody feels that you look at all the stops around the league, none better right here than Chicago.
When do you expect goalie questions to start? With the minute this phone call ends?
Tomorrow. after we do our testing and the medicals are all, the guys are in there right now doing a lot of them, and over the course of this morning and this afternoon's more of the fitness testing.
Great talking to you. Have fun this weekend at Training Camp Festival. Once again, the Hawks have done something here that everybody gets excited about, not just around the National Hockey League, but the rest of sports goes, wait a minute, how do they do that? And it's going to be fun. So thanks, Coach. Appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, Jake.
See you later. That's Coach Q. Be on with us every week, all season long.
Yeah, you know, I noticed your golf swing, but if he saw you swing, then he saw Mary and me and Cliff Coral. Didn't say a word.
You know how he is when he sucks up to me.
I'm sure.
You know how much that matters to Coach
buddies,
Q, what I
lunch
think.
Buddies.
I'm sure Cliff Coral told him about that putt I sunk that he was telling everyone else about, so he probably already knows.
You remember when I suggested to Coach Q that we had lunch and he laughed? You remember that, so he's very concerned what I think of him.
And play tennis, too. That was the other one.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And if you want details on Hawks Training Camp Festival at ChicagoBlackhawks.com, you can link to all Blackhawks stuff through WGNRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, hurry up. You know I love you more than why not show. Yeah, hurry up. Or kiss me, kiss me.
Brought to you by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Moron Entertainment. Here's my fellow moron, Dean. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
I was looking at the Dancing with the Stars celebrity lineup. This show's got to be over. This is the weakest lineup I've ever seen of a show that America likes, loves at times.
Hasn't it been over for a while? Mary's your Dancing with the Stars expert there.
Mary Vandeveld, have you ever seen a worse list of celebrities than this one?
You know, they're just, now it's turning into like a C-list.
The most famous people on the list are Mary Lou Retton and DeMarcus Ware, who used to play for the Broncos and, Cowboys, I think.
Yeah.
You from David Baldacci.
And David Baldacci. Where does that?
I don't know what that is.
In one dying town.
What noise am I hearing?
Noise? I don't hear a noise.
We were hearing some
hearing
sort of background noise.
Computer, no, the computer has a mind of
So anyway, we determined that Dancing with the Stars celebrity list is not great.
You don't think that Juan Pablo DePassi, is that his name?
If you can't pronounce it or don't know it, it's probably not an A-lister. Now, it's physically demanding, but it's incredible exposure week after week after week, so I'm sort of surprised they're having all this trouble to find people.
They're running out of people. I mean, I think they've gone through... the most I'm excited about is Joe, grocery store Joe, who's from The Bachelorette. He's a Chicagoan.
Yeah.
And he is so cute. He's adorable. And he has not had good luck on Bachelorette or Bachelor in Paradise.
John Schneider's on it.
I don't understand that. I thought he was in jail.
No, the other Dukes of Hazzard guy. He's not in jail, but he was in trouble with the law.
Who's the other guy?
That's the whole premise of the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, just I thought John Schneider was the guy that wasn't paying his child support.
I don't think that's true.
I'm with you, Steve. I thought so too. I thought that the other guy was in trouble for something else.
But which one's Starsky and which one's Hutch? Anyway, that's your Dancing with the Stars update. Mary will keep an eye on it. What did Norm Macdonald do?
Norm Macdonald, was going on an apology tour yesterday because, you know, like I told you yesterday, he did that interview with the Hollywood Reporter magazine and said that he was glad the Me Too movement was slowing down, that he has sympathy for his friends Louis C.K. and Roseanne Barr, that the victims of sexual abuse have not gone through what they went through, losing everything in one day. The Tonight Show canceled an appearance with him, and he's been pretty roundly criticized for his insensitivity on that. And he tweeted an apology saying that he didn't mean to be insensitive. So he goes on Howard Stern yesterday and says that he was misunderstood in his comments and that he does understand the trauma that sexual abuse victims go through. And then he said, quote, "You have to have Down syndrome to not feel sorry for them."
Wow.
End quote.
Wow.
So now...
Not good.
You know, the people are questioning that insensitivity. Organizations who deal with people with developmental disabilities are calling the comments very disturbing. He's supposed to be on The View today, and we'll see who he can insult today.
He needs to shut up. John, this is from Fox News. John Schneider served 5 hours of his 3-day jail sentence for unpaid alimony on Tuesday. It was the latest hurdle for the star, who says he's had rough times in Hollywood. This is my favorite part. This is John Schneider, Dean. "Going to jail was nothing like I ever imagined it was going to be. First of all, I was given no preferential treatment at all. They detained me with the rest of the general population.
For 5 hours.
I was arrested. I was searched. I was handcuffed. I had my wallet, my phone. They took my belt and shoelaces. They took it all and put it in a plastic bag. It was totally life-changing."
Humiliating.
5 hours. Attica. Attica.
Maybe it was part of the sentence to be on Dancing with the Stars.
You know what?
It could work be. Release.
That's how he got out.
Yeah.
I'm still mad at him from when he made us pay for when I tried to jump in his car. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You had the mic pack on. You scratched the car?
I dented it, and he claimed it was the General Lee. It was one of the original General Lees. And I tried to jump in the window like he always used to do. And I dented the car, and we had to pay $6,000 to have it fixed.
What?
And, of course, he squandered that away, his
$6,000. Where's that money now?
5 hours of jail. Changed his life. Didn't even get any preferential treatment.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill,
Cavill, Henry Cavill.
No longer Superman?
Been Superman for the last 5 years in Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, Justice League. Could not come to contract terms.
I understand he's being replaced by NBC5's Art Norman.
Who is also a Man of Steel, I might
add. Yes, he is.
Dean, what do you think those... What could they not come to agreement on?
Like, I think they're just trying to completely reboot and shake things up, because the DC comic world has just not caught fire the way that Warner Brothers has wanted it to catch fire. The way they hoped it would be like Marvel Pictures, it just has not anywhere along the way. So they are said to be more focusing now on their Supergirl movie and not so much on Superman.
A lot of rumors about who might replace Henry, but I really enjoyed
Art Norman.
Seeing Michael B. Jordan on the list. I saw the rumors yesterday that the Black Panther star was being considered.
I'm going Art Norman. I still think it's Art Norman.
I don't know if he's being considered, but his name was as about 20 other names that are being floated. There's Warner Brothers had no comment.
Morley Safer?
Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a walker. Morley Safer still alive?
No, he's dead. He's gone. Who wants to be the next Batman?
John Hamm.
Oh.
From Mad Men?
Interesting. He would be a good Batman.
That would be an interesting choice. He says he's always wanted to do the role. They never offered it to him. But
that's because Art Norman got it.
He is saying now that it looks like Ben Affleck...
So many times I could work this in before the segment's
over.
Again.
Count the number of times Steve can say the words Art Norman and win a prize. He said that he's always wanted to do it, and so we'll see what happens with that, because Ben Affleck probably is not returning to that role.
Will he be the oldest Batman?
Or is George Clooney? Was George Clooney Batman?
I'd have to look at the birthdays. I don't think he's anywhere near as old as George Clooney.
But George Clooney,
I just mean at the time when
George Clooney was 40-ish when he did it, right? Late 30s, 40, something like that. Kevin Hart, what was he doing at Wrigley?
He threw out the first pitch last night. It was an okay, not great pitch.
Well, he's not a big fella.
Well, you still can...
Did he get throw it from the front of the mound?
You are standing... No, he stood
on the rubber?
Mound. He stood on the mound, and it fell just in front of home plate. So he did okay, I guess, with it. Ice Cube, though, is taking the opportunity to make fun of his friend by saying, I would have stole second and third on this slow blank blank.
That's what friends are for. And Roseanne was on with Dr. Oz?
Yes, she's on. She's,
is that today?
She keeps saying, no, I'm not sure when the season opener is for the new season of Dr. Oz, but that's when Roseanne's going to be on. But they taped it. And Roseanne, who keeps saying that she's leaving the country, she's tired of dealing with this, keeps going on shows talking
about it. She's getting closer. She's in New York. The ocean's right there.
Yeah. She talked about Ambien with Dr. Oz, saying that that was the reason for her. Well, she's not calling it her racist tweet, but it was. She said that, you know, the whole thing was because she was taking Ambien that night, and she was telling Dr. Oz the you know, what can happen when you take Ambien, that you can throw food at the wall and you can go crazy, and Tiger Wood drove a car with Ambien.
Remember when I was on it and I started calling you Art Norman?
And Dr. Oz says that he's going to have to look it up, but he's pretty sure that tweeting is not a side effect of taking Ambien.
More on entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. You've done fine work here. Let's do it again tomorrow.
And tomorrow, Art Norman will be joining us.
Oh, fantastic. I love Art. You know,
he'll be joining us to mention Steve's name every 5 minutes.
That'd be fantastic. Thanks, Dean.
Beside the circle. Sends it left circle. Panera closes it. Put it back in front. Campbell shoots. He scores. Oh, what a play. What a play.
Here come the Hawks. The mighty Hawks.
In case you missed it, we're blatantly plugging Training Camp Festival because we don't want you to miss it. Let me bring Brian Campbell in here. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing really good today. I can't complain. I'm not jumping on a bike and pouring my heart out for physicals with the Blackhawks. So these are the days today that you don't miss these days.
When do you miss it? Do you miss it occasionally? I mean, you're out 2 years now. Do you miss it?
Yeah, I do miss it occasionally, but you know what? I felt like I don't have any regrets. I put it all out there, and you know, I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying my time away and learning the game from a different angle, and obviously kids and everything at home, and trying to become a better golfer as well.
Yeah, how'd you play the other day after I saw you?
It was good. I had a really good group, and obviously playing Medina is always a treat for everyone.
No doubt about it. You know, we haven't played all year, so call me and we'll pretend we schedule it and then we'll forget.
Okay, perfect.
And how are your kids?
My kids are great. The baby's 8 months old now, and my two girls, we just got her off to kindergarten this morning.
Wow.
She's doing great. So.
Wow.
Lots of fun. Good summer. So,
hey, Brian, it's really interesting because Coach Q mentioned the fitness tests. You've mentioned Adam Birch yesterday. I think a lot of the fans don't recognize that the first day of training camp is all about these tests. What do you have to go through as a hockey player on the first day or the day before training camp?
Well, it's gotten a lot better. I think back in the day, it was just they used to do skating tests. And so today they'll be doing a VO2, max VO2, a wind gait test, which is 30 seconds as hard as you can on the bike, and the weight and the pedals just get heavier and heavier as you go. And honestly, that might be the worst one because you feel like vomiting after you've done that, and your legs feel like jelly. They do some jump tests, some pull-ups. So those sorts of things, body fat, nobody likes to get pinched and prodded and all that. So that's the main thing. But guys, guys come in shape either in great shape or there's like optimal shape. So you're always trying to get to that optimal shape so you're ready for the season.
Is it tougher for the young guys who maybe are going through this for the first time, but the older guys who at least, not only are they coming in shape, but they also know what to expect?
Yeah, it helps to know what to expect. I wish in my later years that I had a metabolism like a 22-year-old. So, you know, I think you always got to keep up to these young kids. But I think your first year, you're a little surprised on what's going on. But after that, you feel pretty ready for it. As long as you did the preparation before, that's all that matters to yourself.
The DeBrincat bobblehead they're giving out this weekend, are you collecting the whole set?
Yes, I will be grabbing everything I can possibly get on Saturday. But I'm telling you, what a great event. $5 for a ticket. If I was a kid, I'd be lined up. I might be out there right now waiting to get in general admission to sit on the glass. I think that's, you know, personally, I grew up in a small town. I was a couple hours away from an NHL team. But to be able to do that as a young kid, I'd be bugging my dad all night to head down there and get down there. So what a great event for the Hawks. And for that price, you can't go wrong.
The training and the testing and all the stuff we just talked about they're going through this morning, do you have any idea what your body fat percentage was when you were playing?
I always kept a little bit of extra on myself, so I was probably right around 10 when I was playing, but I think that's what my body kind of allowed and what I felt comfortable at, I think, as I went along.
I think the average American is 34.
Well, what are you now, Brian?
34, yeah. You know what? I've actually worked out quite a bit and kept in shape. I enjoy it. It makes me feel better. I'm not as grumpy that way. So I don't think I'm too much further. I've actually lost a little bit of weight since I've played. So I don't think I'm too much higher than what I was. But there'll be guys coming in at 6%, 5%, you know, and ready to go. I just felt, for me being a smaller guy, at stamina and everything, I felt better at that. And plus, I couldn't get any skinnier.
Well, and I always feel like having a little extra body fat is a good idea, too. I felt that way most of my life.
When you were down at 5%, wasn't that a... Isn't
well,
that
I was nine. You know, at the time, I was 9 or 10 years old, so... $5 to get in. Training camp festival this weekend. Great for kids, great for the whole family. And Soup, he'll probably see a wave at you and sign anything you want. So thanks for being on, bud.
Yeah, enjoy. I hope see lots of fans down there. And, you know, it's fun for the players to be in front of a sold-out crowd like that, too. So come on down and enjoy it.
There you go, Brian Campbell. And thanks.
You can make a day of it because it's at 11 a.m., but you can go there at 8 a.m. and do all the fun, like, black party type stuff.
The outside
stuff. Because I think you said you were going to go and take your shoes off and jump in one of the bouncy houses or something.
Well, Adam Burrish yesterday wanted me to go into a bouncy house, and I think he meant with him. And I'm willing to do that because you get scared.
Yeah. I think Dunk Tank is a better for you.
There's no Dunk Tanks anymore. Why don't they do Dunk Tanks?
There was a Dunk Tank at the WGN-TV Back to School Kids Fest. Yeah, but it was a little chilly, and I wouldn't let Patrick do it. I let him sit up there for a photo that's on the website.
No, but you got to get the personalities. It's a celebrity.
He's just in like every event at a Dunk Tank.
Yeah.
Dave, have you been in a Dunk Tank?
I've never been in a Dunk Tank. I believe John Williams has, and he's going to be broadcasting live from the Training Camp Festival Saturday from 10 to noon.
In a Dunk Tank?
Not that I know of, but if there were a chance to get one, there's your guy.
Well, listen, if you're doing your own podcast at home, a live microphone and water is probably not a great idea.
It's not a bathtub, so you're all set.
Just saying. Headlines next, 720 WGN. It's Wolf's Flea Market bringing us our friend, Greg Flam. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Nice to see you. How are you?
Great to be here, fresh off of Bridgeview Treasure Diggers.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. How was it?
I heard it was great. Something to point out, people come from other suburbs or other areas to set up on like the front lawn of other people's houses. So not only do you get the house, you know, that has like the garage sale, then you get like one or two
other
people.
So if you have a relative, you go there, use their lawn?
Yeah, and I've heard of some people paying like 10 or 20 bucks just to set up a table on their lawn. Yeah, so, and this weekend should be busier because the south end of Bridgeview has more homes than the north end is more industrial.
Let's go buy a yard.
Good times. We're going to do a yard sale on the show. Gail?
Yes.
What do you got, Gail?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have Gerald Ford's signature.
Awesome.
Ooh. How'd you get that?
I think it was when he was campaigning for president. So I'm assuming it's 40 plus years old.
Okay.
And a friend of my son's gave it to me.
Okay. Gerald Ford's signature. What is it on?
It's just on a white card. It doesn't say anything other than his signature.
Which is good, right? That's
right.
Good
no
for
other
sports.
Signatures.
I don't know about politicians. Right.
Just the card, I'd say an auction starting at $75, but I did find the pardon letter to Nixon, and that one for about $275.
Wait. You found
which you think would be more.
For
yeah.
Nixon.
Signed Gerald Ford pardoning.
A copy of it.
I think it was original.
How could the original
I know,
be
only be 260.
Not
I know.
In congressional archives, right?
Yeah, it must be. It could be a copy. You know, who knows?
You find a constitution that goes for 500 minimum.
Rick right. from LaGrange has the right? He has the original.
I might find it for a dollar. You never know.
Joe's in Schaumburg. Go ahead, Joe. Joe, you with me?
Hey, Joe.
All right, Joe apparently took a call. I'm not sure why this has value. Joe says he has a handheld calculator. Yeah.
Some of those can go for upwards of $1,500. I found an
what?
HP
Hold on
one.
A second. The resignation letter of Richard Nixon is $200, and a
Justin,
calculator is $1,500?
Back me up, please.
Yes, there's no rhyme or reason
there
to any
isn't.
Of this stuff. The calculator is because it's old technology?
Yeah, and a lot of it, if you have the LED screens versus the LCD screens, those can be worth more.
What about a speak and spell?
Those are I collect those all the time because people hack those and they make
they do other
sad
things
to say,
with
they
them,
make
yeah.
them say other things yeah and they can go for about $30 for the speak and spell yeah
right.
$30-$35
well at 312-981-7200
what was that calculator game you used to be able to play with a digital LED display like you'd spell
yeah,
words
yeah.
and you'd flip
there's
the
actually
calculator
a book
over?
There was a book called Data Man and I found it I collected it
what's that worth
probably $10 for the book, but okay. The calculator is probably $25.
Well, speaking of books, what yep. did you bring in today? You got
some other books, just some funny stuff. Like there's a 1984 book of breakdancing and shows you all the diagrams how to break dance.
I'm going to need that.
Yeah,
co-writer, Steve's
I'm
co-writer.
Telling you, if
I'm
you give me a 4x4 vinyl flooring, I can show you some stuff. But then I found a 1972 Stanley Cup book, and there's some Blackhawks in here, and it's kind of unique. And then a 1934 World's Fair bookmark.
Wow, yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah. It's good stuff. And then, tools. I try to bring in stuff that people have all the time. And the blade on the bottom there, you know, for planing wood.
What is this?
It's called a planer. And
it's a Stanley.
Wood plane, yeah. And it's probably 1930s or 40s. And that one is about $50, but they can go as high as $100, $150.
That's to smooth out the wood?
Yeah. And
it's really heavy.
You can get them at garage sales for $2, $3 sometimes. So when I see them, I can pick them up. And, the thing is, here, spray paint. This is mind-blower. Cans of vintage spray paint are going upwards of $600. Empty cans.
What?
Yeah, so it's
why?
A thing. It's,
to do
people
what
are collecting
with
them.
Because it's because so many municipalities make it illegal what to buy?
I'm thinking from what my research is it's gangbangers or taggers from the back in the day want
like
the vintage
it's
you know
nostalgic.
Is that right?
Yeah, to collect it yeah. And there's even a company called Mountain that's making like limited edition spray cans with like custom graphics on it and everything.
Wow. Well, that'd be cool for my gang
Do you see this game that this texter
yeah
sent
there's
in?
A
the 847
this is really
so cool
good. Okay so there's a game 847 puts a game it's a radio game it's from 1926 oh, wow. It's called Radio Game for Little Folks
wow
folks
never seen
have
it.
All the game pieces the playing pieces are little radio microphones and the teams are WGN Radio KOA Denver
wow
KHJ Los Angeles and WEAF New York they're the players.
And I believe
it almost looks like Parcheesi.
With that the exception great. Of WEAF, I think those other radio stations, including us, obviously still exist.
Yeah, you can. It's
do
like,
you see the little microphones if you blow it up? They're
yeah.
so cute.
This is a great game.
I'm surprised I never
Dave,
seen
Dave, did you get licensing fees off of this? Because I'm guessing you're in it. It's from 1934.
I should probably check. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
you're
board
right,
game.
Steve
I see Lyle Dean there.
Of course you do, yeah.
It's a dice game, so you roll a dice. It's almost sure. like Parcheesi where there's spaces, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you go to 5, I'm looking at the picture.
It's kind of like the dice game that Lyle Dean used to do during Prohibition, the alleys behind WGN.
All right.
If you hit the blue space, it says Silent Night Safety Zone. So it must be when they're off the
when
air.
When the signal goes.
Yeah.
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 Can't do that.
Oh, that's
yeah,
great.
Isn't that amazing?
That is cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What's it worth? A million?
Can't even
million
tell you.
Five?
Can't find one.
Yeah.
I love it. That's the best. That's a great
yeah,
find.
Yeah, I'd say at least an auction starting at like 300.
Texters and a bunch more people on the telephone. What do you got? What do you think it's worth? And where do people see you this weekend?
Wolf's Flea Market in Palatine, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Rand Road.
And Greg Flam here, courtesy of Wolf's Flea Market.
Mm-hmm.
Back on a swap meet here with our friend Greg Flam, sponsored by Wolf's Flea Market. Man, we got a bunch of people that want information, Greg. A lot of people here.
Rapid fire.
Paul, what do you have?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine. Get off the speakerphone if you can for me, Paul.
Okay, hang on a second. Let me try to figure this out.
All right, never mind. Now I can hear you.
Okay. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hey, I got these Chicago Cubs cufflinks.
Okay.
And it's a red bear. And, I just wondered.
Any idea how old they are? Any idea from your end how old they are?
No, I got these at down by Springfield, Illinois.
All right, we just showed Greg a picture. Thanks for that. Hold on a second. Let's get you a value. What do we got?
Yeah, that exact one I really couldn't find, but there are other ones that are going for $100, $150 and up. I'd say definitely
per
do
cuff?
An auction. No, for the set.
Great question. I got a left cuff.
I got a left cuff only. Mike in Richmond. What do you have, Mike?
A six-pack of Billy Carter beer.
Nice.
How'd you get it?
Looked it up.
I helped an older lady move her stuff, Mary Lou, and she presented me with that as a reward.
Nice.
Okay, reward. Was it cold or warm?
That's warm. No, it was warm.
Okay. They a six pack is going for about $90. So
wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. A single can $10.
Each can ten,
okay. Or the whole pack. You know,
six pack, $90, or what it cost to buy six beers at Wrigley. It's the equivalent.
and don't you feel good now, Mike, for helping Mary Lou?
Yeah,
I certainly do. She's a lovely lady, and it was a great reward. And will it go for more if I get it cold?
No, but if you help her now, better. If you help her now, she's going to give you something of value later. It's Trump suntanning orange gel.
Oh,
it's
going
to be fantastic.
I got to keep that on my list.
Let's go to Vic. Vic has something that he needs help on. Vic, go ahead.
Hi. My wife has a handbook of Illinois government by Paul Powell, Secretary of State.
Wow. Do you know what year that was?
Paul. 1970.
Oh, wow. That's a good year.
Yeah,
that's a strong year for Illinois government handbooks.
Illinois deficit 1970 was $4.
Right. Under control. I couldn't even tell
do
you, to be honest.
Government handbooks
you
go
an auction.
For... I mean, because they mass produce those.
And surprisingly, the Secretary of State ones still get like $15 for the little pamphlets, you know, from the 70s or 60s.
Wow.
You know, so...
How did you get those? Were they in your mailbox, or how'd they distribute the handbooks?
Yeah. You got them with your property tax bill. I don't know.
Well, when we went down to Springfield for the Miles of sixth grade class, they handed them out when we went into the rotunda.
And the kids went, what else you got?
Yeah. They became Christmas presents for Papa.
Jamie from Sherwood would like to know about an Ernie Banks autograph. What's the key for sports autographs in value?
Obviously, we talked before, a single autograph tends to be easily authenticated than a team signed item.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. But Ernie Banks starts at about $50, and I would do an auction. It depends is it a picture? Is it just an autograph? So forth.
Are players savvy to it? Do they know what's up?
They definitely do. You hear stories, some players won't sign it a certain way, or they'll put to the person, and
they
that devalues
value.
It. Yeah,
wow.
So they put to Justin, and they know that's going to devalue it.
Oh,
that way you're not getting hit by the
right.
Pros.
Yeah, you're not. They know you can't really resell it for much after that.
Didi and Homer Glenn has a Mark Pryor jersey, which seems good, but it's disappointing.
I like that one.
Heartbreaking.
Was it signed to Just Ducky?
If it's signed, obviously it's hundreds. Yeah. If it's not signed, I'm thinking maybe 80 to 120 to start.
And you've got to wear that when you go to Wrigley, right?
Yeah.
You're going to wear it because that's a great Cubs name if you're in the bleachers with a Pryor jersey.
One of the times I sang the stretch, Mark Pryor was pitching, and we had like a four-hour delay, and he... He pitched brilliantly.
Oh, wow.
And he looked like he was going to run for president.
Yep.
You know, and what happened? What happened?
Happened.
50-year-old Duncan Yo-Yo.
What was it, 15-year-old?
50.
50. Yo-Yos can do well. I'm thinking that one probably $20 auction.
Does a yo-yo have to be functional?
It helps. It helps if you can still read the logo on each side of it. So.
Does it help if you can walk the dog?
That you would have to come with the yo-yo, so that might be different.
Old scale from 1800s, early 1900s, where I'm guessing the maximum weight was 175. You could stand on it.
Wow, that's hard to put a price on it. If they could mess it,
any old mechanical stuff, right?
Yeah. Any old tools are doing well these days? Old mechanical pencils or drafting tools do well these days?
How about a Zenith radio? I can't tell how old it is.
Yeah, it depends if it's a console radios. Or if it's a tabletop.
Tabletop that, handle yeah. on top of it?
Yeah, that's probably 30 to start.
Okay. A lot of the stuff that you come across is probably not going to make you rich.
No. Nope.
But if you don't have sentimental value for it, move it, right?
Right, and it all adds up. You know, all these $10 bills add up. So,
Justin, last question.
Bridgeview, this weekend, mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday, what should we be looking for heading out to the south end of Bridgeview for their treasure days?
Yes, a lot of walking. It's south of 79th Street, probably between like Harlem and Roberts Road, I believe. And prepare, if you get there after 9:30, 10 o'clock, prepare to park your car and walk miles and then go back to your car, maybe move your car. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a great day. You know, it's a lot of fun for the kids. They have a float that goes by and, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I just like people come from other areas to set up on the front lawn. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. We should buy a yard, I'm just saying.
WGN table.
WGN in front of someone. Yard.
Just buy a yard.
Buy a yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then have listeners use the yard.
Yeah, or we can paint the grass in the WGN logo or
something.
There
you go. That's a lot of work.
So, get Marlene on it. It's just, and we're not going to do any of the work. We're just with the idea guys.
Why can't we do an upper whacker drive swap meet?
There you go.
Just, yeah, that's
all the buildings right here.
Right. Right. Let's do it.
It's okay. A great idea.
Greg, good to see you. People can follow you physically. How do they follow you socially?
Best way is DuPage Picker on Facebook. They can message me, or I have just different items that I sell on Facebook as well. Or, obviously, flea market at Wolf's and Palatine. I'm on Instagram, everything under DuPage Picker.
And ladies, he's single.
Yeah. Go figure, right?
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to be here. Thanks.
News next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. La, 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 la,
la. You're going to see Category 2 reports throughout the day today. Don't be fooled. And just know that the storm surge is the big problem. Storm surge and flooding over the next 3 days, going probably even to a fourth day, Monday, possibly even Tuesday, as Hurricane Florence will be moving very slowly before it breaks up over land. The impact zone now reaches down into northern Georgia, all the way to Atlanta, and up into Raleigh and Charlotte, North Carolina, covering all of South Carolina. Winds at 110 miles an hour. Storm as of now is 160 miles east-southeast of Wilmington, North Carolina. At 10 miles an hour, that means it's 11 hours away. So 11 hours from now, it will be 8 o'clock at night. It will be dark, and it will slam into Wilmington. So anybody that stayed behind in Wilmington are going to get hit with Cat 2 winds in all likelihood that are going to be miserable. Once the winds subside, the rain and the and continued rain, by the way, and the storm surge will be the problem, as each high tide that comes in will make things a little worse. And people in the Back Bay there and also in Hatteras and various other places are going to get slammed as well. So not out of the woods yet. And for all of the panic that you hear on television and television news outlets, it's warranted. It's not just news people going down, standing there in the rain and holding onto a tree. I'm hoping that if you have people you love there, that they've gotten out of there. Because it's going to be a mess and there's going to be a lot of damage and a lot of cleanup. It's rare when you see a storm linger for this amount of time. And that's where the pounding and the continued problem will come from. At 9:16, Frank Fontana is sponsored by ComEd, Empowering Lives. And Frank joins us now. Frank, we want to talk a little design here. And I was talking to somebody here. I can't say who. Top secret.
One of four people in the room?
No, not in the room even. Outside the room, Frank. I get outside of the studio occasionally. I'll walk the halls.
I get you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So actually, just updating Mary's traffic report. The 55 heading downtown, not good.
Okay, not good. Not good. See, that's why you're not doing traffic. Not good's not enough of a report.
Right.
All right, Frank Fontana, the question is this. Barn wood, barn feel, barn boards, why are people doing barns? Is it hip?
It is hip, and it's seen, you know, it kind of hit its peak, and the good news is it's not really going anywhere. And my take on this is people love nostalgia. People love the idea that there's something time-worn with a story that has been put into their home that usually varies different. Like, I have barnwood in my kitchen, and it's like real barnwood from Canada, stripped down, and I put it on an accent wall. And I can tell you that is the number one thing that people compliment when they walk into my house is my barnwood wall. And it was so easy to do.
Well, you know what I saw in at a friend's house in Alabama? This is a year ago now. But he had white walls in a room near his family room. He got a big house, but next to his family room. And he had three strips of barn board, one on each wall that went the length of the wall, in the middle of the wall. And they had family photos on the barn boards. And it drew your eyes to the barn boards. I just thought it was cool.
Definitely cool. And there's a lot of things you can do with it. I make shelves out of it. I take old plumbing pipes and put them together with barnwood and make shelves out of them. And people dig it. It's just one of those trends that I'm glad is still here. Unlike glass, you know, glass block tile should go away. I'm just not a fan of that. Not a fan of brass either. I like rose gold, though. That's the new brass.
Sandberg, what do you got for Frank?
I know Frank and I were talking off the air about how the trend of beams in houses is really hot right now. I know we have beams in our living room, but they're from the house in 1958. You know, they were already there, but
yeah. I mean, so this is a huge trend, and even I work with the Northern Illinois Home Builders Association, and I was doing an event for them last week and talking to all these super high end builders. He said the number one ask right now is beams and faux beams and getting the illusion of you know, maybe more vintage vibe or like Mary's saying, or even the industrial feel of a timber loft. But that is a huge ask going on right now.
Do you have beams in your house? My beams are, just so you know, they're original, but they're enclosed in drywall now. They look very nice because there's some skylight thing above it, but I don't want anyone thinking I got like a bad looking old beam in my house.
Your beams are better than everybody else's.
Yeah. And also our mantle our mantle on our fireplace is a beam one.
Like, I don't know, Frank. Sounds like a lot of beams.
A lot of beams. But it's a good thing. I like it. I'm a fan of it. I have a couple installations going on that really looks nice with some folks. And I want to throw out here, Steve, this Cavalcade of Homes tour that's going on in Naperville. I don't know if you heard about it.
I have.
It's an amazing event. You get to see some of the coolest designs on the north suburbs. These contractors are phenomenal. It's worth going to check out. I got some tickets for your listeners, too, if they want.
All right, so this is designs from the north suburbs and the west suburbs? Because you said it's Cavalcade of Homes in Naperville.
Yeah, I'm confused. Is it west suburbs?
Yeah, that'd
that's
be west suburbs.
Suburb, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm from New York originally, so.
All right, so this has nothing to do with New York, and it's in Naperville, and it's a cavalcade of homes. And how many tickets do you
want? Home tour, yeah.
How many tickets do you want to give away?
I don't know. How many do you want to give away? I could give, you know, four, maybe six, whatever you want.
Well, let's do four. Let's do four.
Let's do four.
Let's do four. Let's do a pair of friends. Let's do two sets of two who know they can make it. How long, when is a cavalcade? How long does it go on? What do you know?
It's going on all the time. Tomorrow is Realtor Day, so if you're a realtor and you want to come in and check it out, you can see what the homes in the western suburbs look like and price them out, maybe get some buyers and sellers out there.
Got another trend question while we get the winners at 312-981-7200. Here's the question. What's with all the damn herringbone?
You know, herringbone is awesome. You know what it is, Steve? Every now and then, the design world and the home improvement world likes to mix it up. Technically, subway tile is what's the most common thing, but herringbone is kind of, you know, if you mimic the chevron patterns, that's where it comes from. I love it. I think it should stay. It's a classic look. It's a rich look, in my opinion. And it's just a variation of how to lay tile or flooring.
I love it. When we bought our house, we redid all the floors, and I wanted to do the wood in herringbone until I got the quote for laying it, which is much more expensive than laying it the traditional way, so then that was taken off the list. It's like
a lot more labor goes into it. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to be piecemealing that in, it's super expensive.
I've also seen, is another trend for 2018, artisan fixtures and mixed metallics, a couple of bands I was in. Are you like those as well?
I do. I think metallics are here to stay. They're using them in really cool ways. You know, and especially wall coverings. Wall coverings are big, you know, but they're not your grandmother's wall coverings. They're, you know, there's a company, Maya Romanoff, that makes phenomenal wall coverings that have like metal flakes embedded into the wallpaper. You should check them out, MayaRomanoff.com.
Okay.
But, I dig it. I like metal tile sometimes. I've seen people do some stainless steel counters. So, yeah, it's one of those trends that are going to stay.
Last call for Frank Fontana right now, or last question for Frank Fontana. Three colors, or three color schemes, I suppose, that have come up time and time again. Are they still hot? Yellows, reds, and black and white. Still hot?
Together?
No, separately.
I was going to say, that sounds like McDonald's. But I love the black and white. Black and white, to me, is the best. You're seeing it on exteriors of homes now, where you see the pure white siding with the black gutters and the black roofing. Very, very hot, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Reds, if you use them right, yeah. Yellows, blah.
Not a yellow guy.
Not a fan of yellows. Not a yellow guy. Although I have done some pretty dramatic yellows, just not my personal cup of tea.
Frank Fontana, where do we follow you?
You can follow me at Frank Fontana on Instagram. Go to frankfontana.net. And to get those tickets, Steve, just let me know who won the tickets, and we'll make sure we take care of them.
All right, we'll call you. You'll still be on 55, so what difference does it make? We'll find it.
Yeah, I'm heading in there. I'm still going to come see you. I'm going to be late, but I'm heading there.
Okay, get here before 10.
You got it, buddy. Thanks.
Cindy and Chuck, thank you for the calls as well to Cindy and Chuck. We will take care of those folks off the air because they both won. A pair of tickets to Cindy and a pair of tickets to Chuck.
That's a fun thing to go the cavalcade of houses.
Yeah, because if you go in when it's not a cavalcade of homes, they generally frown on that.
But it is cool to see what they're doing. It kind of makes you have home envy.
Yeah it makes me feel bad.
They just announced,
so terrible.
I saw it in the paper this morning. They announced the Chicago's doing their open house, and a lot of buildings, famous buildings, are opening up.
Oh, the architecture thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And you said the list is final?
The list is final. I don't know all of them. I don't have them in front of me, but there's a lot of fanfare for some of the downtown buildings.
We used to be in a really famous building.
Yeah.
I don't think you should go in there now.
The Rock and Roll McDonald's, that's where we were. There was
I was thinking of the Trib Tower, both are strong.
Right. When GN was at the Rock and Roll McDonald's.
By the way, I'm the Diet Coke guy. I went by the Rock and Roll McDonald's the other day. Now, listen.
It's formerly the Rock and Roll McDonald's.
It'll always be the Rock and Roll McDonald's, Mary.
Bless them, but the design is just like this gray prison building with a couple of porthole windows.
You got to go on the Ontario side. It's gorgeous. The glass and stuff is pretty. The side you're on is the side that
it just looks weird.
It's kind of unfinished, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because there's no windows on that side or anything, but the other side is gorgeous.
That's all you need.
It struck me as odd because they spent a lot of money on it. Clearly. Yeah.
I like the M that they put at the top at the that means McDonald's. Changed the M up a little.
I've seen a bunch of McDonald's construction sites. So are they all getting redone? Is this some corporate edict?
The one in my town got redone.
Did it?
Yeah. The play area. Oh, yeah. It needed it.
New balls?
I hope so.
Got to jump into new balls.
We're going to replace the balls.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Our pal David Hochberg's here. And for those of you who don't know David, he goes, "Is that the guy that yells at me all the time?" Yep, that's him. But you got to get to know him to love him. And the best way to get to know him is to call Pearl Mortgage and say, "Help me. I don't know what I'm doing." Because he actually, he likes to help people. And he has people on his team that like to help people. If they don't like to help people, he throws them out. What team Hochberg, if they want to get a hold of you, what do they do?
Two of the easiest ways are go to WGNDavid.com or call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 312-751-1333. We are starting, if I may, a reverse mortgage daily newsletter, email blast. So if you would like to participate in that, I'm sending out articles that I find interesting, that I think our borrowers and potential borrowers would find interesting, and also financial planners who have no clue about reverse mortgages that want to get a clue about reverse mortgages, might be a good idea to sign up for the free newsletter as well. You'll get an email every morning.
Why are reverse mortgages so complicated? Okay. To a lot of people,
because because people are afraid of something they don't know. It's just like anything else. And there's nothing to be afraid of. And I'll tell you who's not afraid of it. Two kids whose mother lives in a single-family house in Niles in a neighborhood that I grew up with, because I met him in Huntley. I actually graduated with him from Manny's High School in 1984. I didn't know who I didn't recognize him, but he said that we graduated together. Their parents live in an 85. Their mom's 85, lives in a $275,000 home.
That's paid for.
Mom has outlived her assets. Okay, they need somebody to come in to take care of mom, to make sure she gets out of bed, takes care of mom, clean up around the house, make her food, take her to her any type of appointments that she has, hire a snow removal, hire a landscaper to take care of their
grass.
You need cash, and it's stuck in the house. Okay, these people aren't under the category that they didn't plan properly, like some people would think. You know, these people just ran out of assets and didn't have the assets when they had money to put money away to save for retirement. It just wasn't there. So there are a lot of misnomers out there that I am trying to clear up. And if you're a financial planner that has any type of misgivings about reverse mortgages, I will meet you anywhere, anytime. You just give me a week's notice.
But let me ask you a question. Let's do the role play thing. These are some of the myths, I suppose. But
go ahead.
I'll be that guy.
Go ahead.
Oh, so this is how they get you. They're going to take my house away.
Yeah, 100% wrong.
What?
You own the home. The government does not own the home. The bank doesn't own the home. See, if you have a mortgage against your house, right? I helped you, you know, secure that mortgage.
Paid off now, but yes.
Right. Okay. You had a mortgage against your house.
Uh-huh.
Your sister that we helped secure has a mortgage against her house, if she hasn't paid off.
Uh-huh.
Who owns that home? Would you consider the bank owns the home or that you own the home?
I own the home.
Exactly. There's no difference. There is a mortgage. There is a lien against your property. You still own your home. Your sister still owns the home.
How about the part where I don't have to make monthly payments? How does that work?
It's a deferred payment. You elect to not make the payment. It gets added to the backside of your loan. That is 100% legal. And any money that you take out, because your next question is the money taxable? No, the money is tax-free that you take out of your home.
Is the insurance rate or the interest rate super high?
The interest rate is at current market values, and it adjusts every single year. It's an FHA loan. It's basically a one-year ARM. What's it? It has a cap. I believe the cap is 5 or 6 points above the start rate. So today it caps out at 9-10%, which is what normal adjustable rate mortgages will cap at.
Okay.
There is nothing to be afraid of.
Is there a product in homes that you like better than this?
For experienced homeowners that are looking to maximize their retirement savings, absolutely not. I tried to get my parents into one of these products, right?
Mm-hmm.
You all know I love my mother. She passed away. I tried to get her into one of these products, but their home didn't appraise out. I put them through the counseling. I paid for the counseling, which we have a source to do it for free. I paid for the appraisal on my parents' home, right? So am I going to put my parents into something risky? Absolutely not.
No. You like your parents.
I love my mom, but, you know, and my dad. You know, we're working on the relationship, but it's a work in progress. But yeah.
All right. So whatever David Hochberg is here, I'd like to find out what's bugging him. What's bugging you, David?
Well, what's bugging me is that people aren't calling ahead of time in order to get help. I mean, we got a call yesterday from a gentleman and his partner who live in New City or North City.
New City is an area, or
New Center or something. You know, it's on the north side of the North Center. Thank you.
New City and North
New
Center.
New North North New
New,
new View View
it,
City
it's a, right
Got it.
On the north side of the city, him and his partner have a $50,000 mortgage. They have a $150,000 home equity line of credit that they've been sitting with for 9 years and 10 months. It's expiring in 60 days. Okay, and they've been sitting there, which is great. You know, they called me. They live in a $500,000 home. We're going to roll it together, do a 200. We're going to pull out 10, 15 grand because they have 10, 15 grand worth of credit card debt. Roll it all together. Their payment's going to come down about $500-$600.
Right. But they waited a long time to do it.
Yeah, but they waited a long time to do it. But I'm just glad that they called us, right? But, you know, the frustrating part is that in this market environment right now, we've seen interest rates increase over the past year, at least a half to three quarters of a point in the interest rate. It's just, I can't help you if you don't call.
So if you have an expiring home equity loan, you should, you know, think ahead. But if you didn't, what's drop dead point where you can't get the paperwork done, you can't get the new loan approved?
Oh, we get loans done in 10 to 14 days.
Right. But if you're waiting that long, you're really up against it.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, because you're really up against it because we might need a pay stub. We might need a W-2. Uh-huh. We might need something. And, you know, the sooner... I use the marathon analogy, right? We've got the marathon coming up eventually, okay? Within the next 60 days, right? You don't strap on the sneakers today. You just start planning to run 26.1 miles.
That's why I'm not doing it.
Right. Why would you want to do that in the first place? I have no idea. But that's fine. I'm at home on my couch watching everybody.
I was going to do it this year, but I forgot to train.
So was I. And I forgot to start training in February.
Right.
You start training in January, February. They've got all the charts. This is what you do this week, that week, and the other week, and you build it up, and you start eating, and if you have an injury, you have time to heal. But it's the same thing with the mortgage. The longer that you go out to do something, the better it is that we have a chance of getting something done
there you go.
Instead of waiting until the last minute.
We have more questions. Can you hang around?
I would love
Where are you going? Hang around.
I'm not going anywhere.
It's Pearl Mortgage. What's the number again?
312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or WGNDavid.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I met you in the dark. You lit me up. You made me feel as though.
Who is this?
I wasn't known.
James
we
Blake?
Danced the night away. We drank.
That was pretty good. That was close, though, right?
I held your
I feel like that.
It's a hit.
It's Ed Sheeran, maybe?
It sounds like Ed Sheeran.
It's not Ed Sheeran.
My kids call it the barf song because he's holding her head up from throwing up. That's what my kids say. Hey, Dad, that's the barf song.
Who amongst us hasn't held the hair back of a friend?
Yeah, right.
More than 10 times.
Oh, James Arthur.
James Arthur. Right. It's a good song.
One of those guys with two first names.
That's it. David Hochberg's here. What's a cash-out refinance?
What is a cash-out refinance? Is when you take money out of the equity of your home. So if your home is... So in the example of the... two guys that I was talking to yesterday, they want to take out $200,000. They owe about $190,000. They're going to pull out an extra $10,000. Their home is worth $500,000. You're just taking the equity out of your home to put in play to better yourself, lock into a long-term interest rate. Can I just read a text I got from a guy by the name of Scott
Tucker?
I don't know.
Are you done explaining a cash-out refinance?
Yeah, well, that's a cash-out refinance.
Okay, now you can do it.
Okay. I'm a fiduciary retirement financial planner. I referred my family to you, me, David Hochberg, because they needed a reverse mortgage. You did a great job. Would you like me to come in studio to record a testimonial for you,
well,
Scott
nice.
Tucker. So
that's
there you
nice.
Go.
Studio space is tight.
Yeah, I know. It's very tight. Right up the charge.
You can swing by his house.
With those reverse mortgages, what if...
somebody dies?
Well, or not if they die. What if they use up that money?
Well, yeah. Well, then you're out of the money. Okay, so the thing is with the reverse mortgage, just like a line of credit, the only difference is a reverse mortgage grows at a fixed rate. Right now, they're about 4%. So if you take out a $200,000 reverse mortgage, next year the balance is going to go from $200,000 to $208,000. And then the following year, it's going to go up another 4%. So your availability that you have grows. There's no other product like that out there on the market that I know of other than a reverse mortgage that goes up year after year.
We're talking about credit card debt. If somebody's got big debt problems and they need to figure out how to get the credit score up and how to get it straightened out, what do you do for them?
We look over their credit profile. I talked to a cop yesterday. He lives in a $270,000 home. He's got $140,000 worth of credit card debt. So what do?
That's a lot of credit card.
Well, it's credit card, student loans, and it's just a lot of debt.
Just debt, right?
Yeah, it's just debt, but over $100,000 is credit card debt. So, I mean, it's a substantial amount of money. The most credit card debt I ever saw, and I hold the record for our team, is $145,000, which back in the day we paid it off, and the guy loved me. I was getting thank you cards and birthday cards every year. But what we do for this guy is we take out what we can take out. Unfortunately, we can only take out about $40,000-$45,000. And we just start chipping away at it. He saves $500-$600 a month. He takes $500, throw it at his debt. After another 10 months, right, he's down another $5,000-$6,000, and then we just keep pecking at it. But you've got to have that start, right? You got to pay off that initial chunk, or else you're not going to go. It's like running a marathon on a treadmill. You're not going anywhere.
As a guy in the financial industry, it always amazes me. And I'm not saying anything. I'm preaching here, but the credit card industry doesn't want you to pay it off.
No, they don't.
They don't. And they do everything they possibly can to make sure that you are...
They'll call you up and go, hey, Steve. Hey, Steve, you want some more?
As more technology comes around, as financial habits change, and now we have online this, online that, the old days of our dads telling us, yeah, hey, you know what, put some stuff in savings, it's almost... They don't want you to do that, and it makes it really hard for you to do that.
Well, the challenge that you have is like... you know, they're giving the needles away for free, so you buy the junk, okay? But what people don't realize is, and there's no education in the school system, and I've been saying this forever. If you want me to come to your high school to talk to your students, or you want me to come to your college to talk to your students about the importance of credit, I'll do it with, you know, for no charge. I did it at Stagg High School. I did it at Glenbrook North High School.
We need to teach kids about money before they leave.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because as soon as they graduate, they're 18, and they, here I go, okay? You get me all fired up. They're 18. They're going to college. Here's $200,000 worth of student loans. Oh, by the way, you don't have to pay it back. Oh, but by the way, we're going to add another $20,000 to $30,000 worth of interest that we're not telling you about.
And would you like a credit card?
Oh, wait, no, it gets better. And then when you graduate, here's $200,000. Okay, thanks, Bill. I'm doing my Kegel exercise right now. Okay, so if you come to me for a $200,000 mortgage, bank statements, W-2s, pay stubs, I got to pull your credit. You're graduating 18-year-old out of college. Here's $200,000. Well, what are you going to do for a living? I have no idea. Well, where are you going to live in 4 years? I have no idea. What are you going to do to pay that back? You know, what type of job are you going to have in 4 years? I have no idea. Oh, by the way, and I did go up another octave. I didn't even think I had that in me, which is pretty impressive. Yeah. So
you're about to tilt.
No, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm fine. So what frosts me is that these kids, and I see it every day on these credit reports. They have $200,000 with a credit card. They're amortized over 10 years at like 6, 7, 8%. They can't afford that payment.
No.
And then they graduate.
You
know, they're stuck in their parents' basement.
That's $4 million a month.
Well, you're close. You know, that's stick to radio, please. I got one Cochrane. I had to talk about amortization. I can't go again with you. But and he's doing a fine job, by the way. So please, let me focus on him right now. But it's ridiculous what they're doing. And you're 100% right. The credit card companies do not want you to pay your credit cards back. They want you to be on that needle at 18 to 27% every single month. And what people don't realize, and we've talked about this hundreds of times on this radio, if you, what is it, September already? If you don't pay your September credit card bill off in full from the charges you made in August, they're going to tag you for everything that you charge in September until August is paid off. That's what people don't realize. And that's why
they need to call you.
Oh, God. Yeah, please.
What's the number?
It's very simple. 312-7. I wasn't even going to get fired up today. I told my wife I'm going to be calm. No, it's all right. 312-751-1333. That's 1333 for people that
you're
don't
like
know
an it. Angry superhero.
It's okay.
You just want to help
people. It's a new podcast. How to get David angry.
But if I didn't care, I wouldn't get angry. That's the difference, right?
That's right.
And I've got answers. That's so right. I can't answer if you don't call.
Just do me a favor. Get off my lap.
Okay. You lost some weight. It feels good.
Thank you. David Hochberg. Coming up. Stories that matter. Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio, and Bill and Wendy next.
Back tomorrow. Bill and Wendy are here. What are you guys doing today?
We are giving away tickets. David Hochberg has put together a production called One Angry Man. It's going to be at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse.
What are the other 11 doing?
It's just David.
It's a monologue.
Yeah.
It's 3 hours.
He can play the role of all of them.
It's One Angry Men.
One Angry Men.
Not One Angry Man.
One angry right.
Man. One Angry Man.
And I like the candlelight touch there.
Yeah. That's where they're doing it. Great. It's a good show.
Well, that should be good. I don't know what time that's happening. And then in your special noon bonus hour, you're going to mime?
Yeah, there's going to be some mime. Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be hot.
Radio Shields, mime. Yarnell will be by. It'll be a fun time.
One of them's dead, so that'll be hard.
That'll be
I got Yarnell to block. See you tomorrow.